It's all right. Well, all right. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, Pastor Kyle. I'm going to make you do a little work today. I don't have a PowerPoint for you, so you're going to have to look it up in your own Bible. Okay? And if you don't have one, that's okay. I wrote down a few page numbers you're going to need. The first one is 955. It's in the little blue Bible right in front of you there, 955. Okay? So addiction, it's our topic of today, and it is a plague in our country. Whatever we think the underlying cause is, we know for certain that the true cause is sin. It is the heart of man to try to replace God or become his own God and find other ways to do things besides yielding to God. The stresses of life begin to bring about the need for an escape. And you know, the Lord provides us just that escape from sin as he shows his grace and mercy to us, and we experience peace and joy in our lives. Sin is the escape, or at least that is how it presents itself. When it comes into our lives, the scripture tells us that sin is fun for a season. And only for a season. It makes big promises and produces little results. And today we have seen some of the results of the sin as it showed its face in the form of addiction in the lives of these young men. Some would say addiction is a physical disease. We can't help it. Well, I cannot say that without clarification. I would have to say that addiction is a physical disease that begins with a choice. When we choose to do that thing we become addicted to, then at some point our physical bodies become dependent. And as a result, they're diseased by that very thing we've been putting into it. Addiction can also end the same way it starts, with a choice. I believe that addiction is a spiritual disease for sure. And that is true only in the fact that all humans are sick with the same disease, and that disease is sin. We are born in sin and are incapable of curing ourselves from this disease. But praise be to God for sending Jesus, because Jesus is the cure for addiction. Today we have focused on drug and alcohol addiction, but those are not the only addictions that exist. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6:12, page 595 in your Bible, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but not I will not be mastered by anything." What has mastery over you? What is your addiction? Maybe it's money. You're addicted to money, more money. How much money is enough money? More money. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's golf. Maybe it is collecting things like baseball cards, cigars, baseball caps. That one's in there for me. Just ask my wife. Oftentimes I have to purge my collection and throw some away. Maybe it's pets. Maybe you have too many. Maybe it's, well, for me, again, some people have struggled with this, but it's guns. They like to collect guns for whatever reason. Snowmobiles, or a thousand other things that you can think of. And I'll say that probably the one that the Lord's putting on your heart right now in your life, that's the one he wants to talk to you about, okay? Maybe it's the endless supply of internet platforms, you know, like Snapbook and FaceChat and InstaTwitter. Those ones I'm extremely familiar with, yeah. You're addicted to posting, reading posts, and life is not complete. You cannot shut the lights out until you've sent or posted that last thing or read that last post. This may be your addiction. When we think of addiction, it can be likened to slavery. We are slaves to the things that we have to have or have to do that replace the joy and peace of the Lord in our lives. Today I want to share a few things that I hope will help you with your area of addiction. Whenever you allow yourself to be addicted, Whatever you allow yourself to be addicted to becomes your master. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. And Paul writes, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey them as a slave, you are slaves to the one to whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that through you, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Romans 6, 16 through 18. You are a slave to something. Choosing what that will be is one of the best made with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, not the wisdom of the world. The world has many things to offer you that will bring you to a place of death, ultimately. When we choose obedience and righteousness, we will find great peace and joy in the Lord. It's best to obey and serve God. Choose freedom rather than slavery. Paul writes, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Galatians 5:1. Secondly, we should ask the Lord's help in giving us service, giving our service exclusively to the Lord and His purposes. You can't stop one thing and not replace it with something else. The example I would say is a job. You don't want to quit one job if you don't have another one to go to, right? Or what about, I think about it because maybe it's because I'm almost able to go to the senior luncheon. I'm getting close, but I'm not there yet. And I think retirement, you know? You shouldn't retire without a purpose. It's not a good thing to do because you've lived such a long time with purpose and motivation and a reason to get out of bed in the morning and something constructive to do with your hands and with your mind. And you need a place to, you need to replace that, the time you spent working with something else. I've known people, and maybe you have too, that they've worked for such a long time that when they retire, they don't live very long afterward because they lack motivation and purpose. Addiction is similar. When you make the choice to end your addiction, then you have to replace it with something else. You can't just sit around thinking about how well or how poorly you're doing with the battle. It's not going to work out well for you. You have to go find something else to give time and energy to, and that you are using, or your, that time you're using your addiction on. In Romans 6:19, Paul writes, "Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness." Jesus should be your purpose as you battle your addiction. We should also, as we struggle with our addictions, learn to live by the Spirit's directive rather than your fleshly pleasures. Turn to page 957 if you're following along that way, or Galatians chapter 5. Mine may read just a little different than yours, but that's okay. You'll see the difference. Paul writes, "Live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature," in Galatians 5:16. "But what am I capable of doing in the flesh all by myself?" Well, let's see. It says, again, read in verse 16, "I say then, walk in the Spirit as you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident." Now let's stop right here for a second. These are things that I can do, excuse me, in myself, without any outside help, without any, you know, oh, Satan's buffering me, he's attacking me, all these, nope, this is me doing it. Okay, so watch. If I find my place again, I'll be able to do that. Verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, excuse me, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, I'm pretty rotten. Right to the core. Well, see a little better my need for Jesus. But it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. We need to learn to live led by the Spirit, not by our flesh. The flesh wants to destroy, it wants to tear apart, wreck, ruin, and make our lives miserable. But God has much better things for us. We also, as we struggle with the battle for with our addictions, is consider the shame and eternal consequence of giving in to your addictions. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Luke 6:45. Since Jesus is Lord, he deserves to be Lord in all aspects of our life. Your time, your talents, your activities. Let's talk about our time for a minute. Two different studies said that on average, people spend 3 hours and 15 minutes a day on their phones. That's quite a bit of time. According to another study, it says the average heroin addict spends 3 to 6 hours a day trying to find product to use for their habit. Time is precious. On page 978, or Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It makes me think that I will be held accountable for how I've spent my time. One area I like to apply this to in my life is regards to God's word. I say I love God and that I love his word, yet I haven't read even through it even one time in my life. I think it tells the opposite of me. How am I going to explain that I spent hours on the golf course or fishing and never once read through God's word? Addictions will keep us from those things. One of the challenges I would leave with you today is that to take and go through your Bible and begin right in Genesis and just take one or two chapters a day, read them. I don't care if it takes you 16 years, but just read them and give them a title. Make a chapter title for every chapter of the Bible. It'll help you. It'll give you a goal maybe to attain to. Addictions, whatever they may be, have eternal consequences and only bring shame to our lives. As we battle our addictions, we need to worship the Lord through all aspects of our lives, not just portions of it. We worship the Lord at mealtimes when we say grace and thank him for the food he has provided. We worship the Lord at church as we sing praises to his name and give to him and his work. We worship the Lord during our daily devotions. And if we are doing that, then we are doing pretty well in many ways. But do you worship the Lord at work? Do you worship the Lord as we drive? And I find this is an area that I spend sometimes worshiping and sometimes asking for forgiveness in driving. It's just the way I am. I know me. Do we worship the Lord in the midst of trials? This is what real, genuine worship looks like. When we are consumed by it, worship is always in the first thoughts of our mind. It is in the first things we do. Paul writes, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12:1-2. Addiction wants us to conform to its patterns and pleasures. Addiction wants to transform our minds to think as it wants us to. As we have seen, addiction wants to replace God in our lives. But I'm going to ask you today to be a nonconformist in this area. Do not bend or yield easily to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. The only way to renew our minds is to fill it with the Word of God. Lastly, I want you to consider the effects of your addiction. What the effects of your addiction will have on your witness, your relationships, and your reputation. Paul writes, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Addiction destroys relationships in our lives. It destroys our reputation. When we yield to the call of Christ on our lives, the Holy Spirit dwells within us and leads us. And we have been bought with a price, and that price was the death of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Jesus Christ on the cross in our place for our sins. Through the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, God is able to restore what has been destroyed and give you a bold and powerful witness of His grace and mercy in your life. Addiction begins with a choice and ends with a choice. The choice one must make as a first step in the battle against addiction is to choose Jesus Christ. He waits for you with open arms, ready to help you in the fight. He can heal the brokenness that led you to your addiction. Jesus is the only one who can really help you with your battle. If you need to know more about giving your life to Christ, then see myself here at the front, see Pastor Kyle, or one of these guys. I'm sure they'll be able to tell you about what it means to follow Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you.